Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Acts chapter 1. This morning, as the Lord helps us, we're going to look at the Savior's final words before he went to heaven. He's in heaven now, and we need to be very conscious of the fact that he's looking down upon us. His eyes are ever upon us people, ever upon us people. You may remember, those of you who are bigger and those who are a bit smaller, that when you were out with Mum and Dad, maybe a day out somewhere, they were forever shouting at you, "Watch that! Don't go near that!" Because of their love for you, they wanted to keep you safe from danger. Well, in a far more wonderful way, the Lord likewise ever watches over us and keeps us. He's able to keep. Mum and Dad might only have been able to shout because you're away at a distance and they couldn't reach you, but the Lord, he can ever reach us. He's never too far away to reach out his wonderful hand and preserve us. So let's turn now to these final words that I've been speaking of in Acts chapter 1. If you look, please, at that chapter, you will see the Lord is about to depart, about to leave this world, and he's been away now for nearly 2,000 years, but one day he's coming back. We hold on to that hope and that certainty with joy. Let's read from verse 4, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. "And being assembled together with them," that is the Lord is with them, "commanded them," strong word, it's not a request, it's not please do this, it's a command. "He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me." He had taught them about the promise of the Father, even the power and grace of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, would come upon them. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him." They realized he's about to leave us, and there's something we must ask before he goes. And look at what it was. "They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And the Savior's answer, it might have been at first something of a disappointment. For he said to them, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That includes Kilskerry and Brookborough and the gospel message that here the Savior is telling his disciples they must go out and spread. Well, it has spread. The chances are it reached these islands, the British Isles, not that long after this command. I've explained before that while none of the apostles would have come here, some of their converts might have. In fact, I can nearly be sure they did, because merchantmen, sailors, were converted, and they sailed right around the Mediterranean area, and they came to the British Isles, and they came, and they would have told those they met of the gospel. But we're going to look at these words of the Lord Jesus today. I think that you'll agree with me that the last words a person says before they depart and leave you so that you'll never see them again, you will put a value on those words. You'll remember those words. And here we have the words of Christ just before he left his disciples 2,000 years ago. And he hasn't come back yet, although I think his return is not really that far away. First thing I want you to notice is that he emphasized to them that they do nothing until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was the first thing. Now, he said that because, listen, boys and girls, you and I can do nothing for God without the help of the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing. But if we receive the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do much. We can do much. And as we read through the Acts of the Apostles, you will see much being done as the Holy Spirit helped the disciples. Don't ever forget that they were just ordinary men, very much ordinary men. You will remember that when the Lord Jesus was arrested and taken away to be crucified, they all ran away scared. Scared. Even though prior to that, when the Savior told them what was going to happen, that he would be taken away, abused, and finally crucified, they all said, "Oh, well, we'll not run away. We'll stand by you." They all said that. And when the Savior said, "No, no, you won't," they contradicted the Savior. "You're wrong. We will." But sadly, we know what happened. They all ran away. Peter even went so far as to say, "I don't know him," when there were those who came and said, you're one of his followers." No, I'm not. I don't know him at all. Don't know what you're talking about." Now, that was an awful lie. And it grieved Peter much when the Lord turned and looked at him. He was in the Savior's very presence when he said that. And the Lord heard him say it and turned and looked at him. But it was a look not of anger, not of mocking, but it was a look of gentleness. Because poor old Peter, when the Lord looked at him, he remembered the Savior's words. He remembered his own strong promise. And he broke down, and it says he wept bitterly. Oh, I'm sure that wasn't the only time he wept over that incident. Throughout the rest of his life, whenever the memory came back to him, I'm sure old Peter cried. Yes, here are the final words then. And he says, "You can do nothing until you're baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit coming down upon you, filling you, enabling you, blessing you. Now, it is to be noticed where they were to go with the gospel. Did you see that? "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem." That's where they were to start. That's where you start. Ooh, not in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was their home, as it were. So they were to start at their home base. And that's where you start. That's the first place you should tell that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that men need him, as do boys and girls need him as their Savior. Jerusalem, old Judea, that's significant too. Why? Who crucified him? Who put the Savior to death? Men and women in Judea. Jerusalem is in Judea. And it was the multitude round about Jerusalem that cried out, "Not this man. We don't want him. Crucify him." And yet here's the Savior saying to his disciples, "You go back to those people who murdered me and tell them the gospel." And then it says, "In all Judea and in Samaria." Now, if you follow what the Bible teaches about Samaria, just after the time of Solomon, Samaria really rebelled against the throne of David. That territory, the northern part of Israel, it became a place where the enemies of Israel who conquered them took away the Jews, or some of them, and put in foreigners in the area of Samaria. So there was a people there who were a mixture, and it always showed an attitude toward God and his truth that was very wrong. And yet the Savior says, "You go to Samaria. Go to Samaria." And then he goes on and says, "And unto the uttermost part of the earth." The uttermost part of the earth. That was quite a change for the Jew. The Jew had been used to the fact that God had sent his messengers only to them. The Old Testament. Only to the Jew. They were the privileged people. Oh, occasionally you read of Gentiles who came under the influence of the truth of God, and they became Israelites, religiously speaking. They became followers of the Lord. But generally speaking, the truth of God was only shared by God with the Jew. But that changed at the beginning of this age. And the gospel is shared with you today. You're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. You're a Gentile. But God wants you to hear his word. The devil doesn't. Beware of the devil and wandering thoughts. Concentrate upon what is being said from the word of God. Now, my second point. You will see also that the Lord Jesus told these disciples, who were Jews, that going out with the gospel was much more important than understanding when it was that he would restore the kingdom to Israel. That's what the disciples asked. You read there in the verse 6. Look at it. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, all of the prophets had preached basically since the time of Abraham, that at one time the Lord would elevate Israel, lift them up until they governed the world, the supreme nation on the earth. And the Lord himself would take up residence in Jerusalem and rule the world from Jerusalem. And Israel would be his agent, his representative throughout the world. The prophets repeatedly stated that. And therefore the Jew had this in his mind. Now, of course, as is the case with men, they didn't always see exactly what the Lord was promising them, but they added to it and took from it until the promise of God became twisted in their mind and they fully didn't understand what it was God planned. And you still get that. If you got 10 Christians together and asked them the question, what is the Lord Jesus going to do when he comes back again? And the chances are, out of those 10, there would be 10 different answers. Because very few take time to study what it is God has said regarding the return of Christ. And so here these disciples were. They were under the rule of Rome. Roman soldiers were everywhere. They weren't ruling themselves, but they were very much servants, slaves, captives of the Roman Empire. And you can understand, therefore, the disciples saying, Lord, when are you going to restore us to that promised authority and power? And I'm sure that the answer of the Lord, that the first would have disappointed them. Might I just give you a portion that you read regarding what it is God is going to do with the Jew? The book of Zechariah and the last chapter. You can read it. What the Lord is going to do in this world when he comes back again, and the place that the Jew will occupy in the great plan of God. What chapter did I say? Zechariah. That's the last book of the Old Testament, but one. And in the last chapter of Zechariah, I want you very soon to read that for yourself. Not just read it, study it closely. Now, that was the hope, because the disciples would have known what was in Zechariah. And it excited them to think this is what God is going to do with us. So they said, Lord, when's that going to happen? And the Savior told them, it's not for you to know when this will happen. That's not the important thing for you to consider at the present time. Your duty, says the Lord, is to take my message of salvation to all the world. Now, the coming again of the Lord Jesus is a most wonderful and important subject, and we should think about it and meditate upon it and seek to learn everything that the Bible tells us about that event. But because that event will take place one day, we have to be urgent in telling men and women to be saved. Because if the Lord Jesus comes back and they're not saved, tragedy will be the result. They'll not be ready. They'll not be prepared. They'll be in rebellion against the Savior. And when he comes back, he will deal with rebels most severely. So the coming again of Christ is a wonderful and glorious and important subject. But if we believe it, it adds urgency to our need to tell our neighbours of Jesus, the mighty to save. I still have a few minutes, so I'll press on with my third point, and it's this. With these words, go ye into all the world, the Saviour left them. He ascended up to heaven. What a sight that must have been, and yet it must have been a sad thing in many ways. In fact, I think that sadness is indicated to us. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They never saw him again. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Have you ever seen pictures? They're not so common today, of events that took place at the quayside while ships were sailing away. Years ago, used to be a lot of people would sail away from Northern Ireland, sail away to America, to Australia. I had a great uncle who just lived not that far away from here, just up the road behind us. And there came a day he packed a suitcase, and the railway line used to run just behind the hill there, right up to the old humpback bridge, which is up the road, just, what, a quarter of a mile? And there was a railway station there. They called it Bundoran Junction, because that's where the trains used to turn and head off into County Donegal to Bundoran. And that great uncle, with his suitcase, walked up that railway line from his home, for the railway crossed his lane. So he was able just to walk down the lane and onto the railway track and follow the railway track up to Bundoran Junction. And he got the train from there to Londonderry. And he got on a boat and he sailed for America. He's never home again. A few years ago, 4, 5, 6 years ago, a grandson and a great-grandson came from America to look up and search out the background to their great-grandfather and grandfather. And they came to me because they had heard I was linked with them. But oh, that happened. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people who left Ulster to go to far-off countries. And at the quayside, the family would have been gathered. And a ship moving off from the quays, not like an airplane, and it's gone. But the ship would very slowly leave, and the family and members would be there waving, maybe half an hour. Sad. Because in those days, the chances of that person ever getting back home again, they were very slight chances indeed. It was so expensive to travel, and they didn't do it. Like that great uncle. He never was home again, never was seen by the family again. So I want you to imagine those disciples looking up as the Saviour departed into a cloud. There must have been great sadness of heart. And it says they were standing watching. Even when he disappeared, they were still looking up as an expression, I'm sure, of their longing for the Saviour's presence and company again. But while they were doing that, a word from the Lord came to them by way of the angels. Are you reading it and looking at it? Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, and their words were more important than their appearance. If angels came and appeared to you, it would be very easy to be taken up with their appearance. They must have been glorious in their appearance. But what they said was important. They said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Boys and girls, the Lord wants you to know today he's coming back. He's coming back. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He'll stop you thinking even about me speaking of it now. He'll get you to think of other things. And you'll miss this truth. The Saviour is coming back to this world. This world doesn't believe it. Peter tells us that as the time for the Saviour's return draws near, there will be plenty preaching. Where's a promise of his coming? You don't really believe that. And there is out there, in the pulpits, as well as everywhere else, men and women who mock the idea of Christ coming back to this world. But you have his word that he will come back. And you need to live in preparation for that. You need to be ready for that. That was the last words of the Saviour. I'm coming back again. And that would have comforted those poor disciples. It actually goes on to tell us that they returned to Jerusalem, and they returned, I'm sure, with joy, rejoicing that they had this promise, the Lord's coming back. He hasn't gone forever. He's coming back. And may that truth get home to your heart today. Tell me, are you ready for his coming? Are you? Are you ready for his coming? Are you washed in the precious blood? Are your sins forgiven? The school, some years back, was taken up to the Southwest Hospital in Enniskillen, just this side of Enniskillen. School all went up, dressed, scrubbed, and looking as bright as they could. And they were there to meet someone. Do you know who came? The Queen. The Queen who's now dead. Queen Elizabeth II. She came to open the new hospital. And the school was given an invitation to come and stand and see her and be part of the reception. Oh, you've thought a lot about that day. Well, so it is with the coming again of the Lord Jesus, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Be ready. Be ready. Get saved if you're not saved. Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word to every heart, Lord. O God, may each one here who's not saved feel their need of Christ. Feel it with urgency. Feel it, Lord, with a sense of their lost condition. And may they come even today and get saved. Bless our school. Just be with us, Lord. Protect all and help teachers and pupils and parents as well. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.